Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Welcome to episode 7 in the Husky International series and a long interview with German triathlete Anja Beranek. My name is Magnus Ormestad and this is the Swedish outdoor podcast Husky. This interview was recorded at Plaitas Resort in cooperation with Apollo. Find out more information about this episode and previous episodes on huskypodcast.com.
So how is your stay at Plaitas this time?
Oh, it's beautiful. Today I'm, or this time I'm quite late, so usually I start in December, but this year I spend the winter in Australia, in Western Australia, so I'm quite late here, so end of January, but I really enjoy the stay here. It's the perfect training conditions. The hotel offers everything what a triathlete needs. It's the best swimming, biking, and running conditions, and the food especially. And it's a beautiful place to recover as well, and not far away from my home, from Germany, so it's easy to travel. And this is why I, the last 3 years I come here, and I train a lot and I train hard, and it makes me feel better.
Because you've been coming here for quite many years to Plaitas.
Yeah, I think it's now the fourth year. So you can say really from the beginning. So when the first triathletes settled here, I was one of them. Because Thomas Hellriegel, to be honest, he was the one who discovered Plaitas and had said, hey, there's a good club on Fuerteventura right now. He told me about the conditions, and then I had a look, and I come there and I enjoyed it. Yeah, definitely.
It's a lot of Germans here. A lot of German triathletes, I notice, a lot of teams.
Yeah, because it's, you know, the Canarian Islands, they are not far away, so it's easy to travel. And as a triathlete, most of the time you are training alone when you are at home, because you're an individual athlete, you don't have a group. Or if you're lucky, you have a brother or a sister to train with. But unfortunately, I have a sister, but I can't train with her. And this is why, you also look for training partners, especially in winter times for endurance training, when you spend hours on the bike, to have someone to talk to train with. And for me, it's also important to exchange experience and ideas. So it's not just coming for training, it's also for talking how they do their training, what they changed and what is new on the market with the material and so on. So
gossip.
Yeah, as well. but I'm not this kind of athlete integrated in this gossip thing. But yeah, this for sure.
Maybe you're the one that they're talking about.
Yeah, maybe. I need to ask. Or maybe you can ask.
And I'll book some more interviews, and then after that I'll let you know.
Okay, that's good.
Get the inside.
That's the deal.
But where is home to you?
Home is my hometown is Nuremberg, so it's Bavaria. At the moment, I'm living more close to Stuttgart, so a little bit more south, so near the Black Forest. It's also a very beautiful area to train, but in winter, definitely too cold. At the moment, we have got a lot of snow. So this is why, when you want to do your endurance training, you need to Skype from the winter. And but it's definitely in summer. It's a very nice place.
You're not into the whole ski mountaineering thing and ski.
No, that's too flat. I mean, we have good now snow for maybe 2-3 days, and then it's getting warm again. And I don't have ski equipment anymore because the last 10 years have been not so much snow. And this is then when you need to go to the mountains. And then I prefer more to go to the airport and fly into the sun than driving into the mountains.
Is that where you grew up, in Bavaria?
Yes, yeah, that's where I grew up.
What was your childhood like?
Oh, it was beautiful, I would say. I have a sister. She's 2 years older than me, and we have a very close relationship. So I had quite a lot of fun when I was a child. And I had a family who were very active, so they make different kind of sports, but not on the performance or professional level. So just for having fun, for enjoying the nature. We were a lot of hiking and mountain biking. So for them, it was important to show us the nature and the fun you can have with the sport, with moving around. So it was, I would say, it was a very, very, for me, a very nice childhood. We traveled a lot with a camper van, traveled through Europe. And
One of the German camper vans up in Sweden, maybe?
yeah, we have been there.
Did you get one the time. Elk, did you get the elk signs on the back of the van?
Yeah, we did it, yeah. The typical tourist.
Lovely.
Yeah, so I really had a, I can say I have a very good childhood.
Is that the nature, is that kind of an important element for your, like, for your exercises these days?
Yeah, definitely. For me, triathlon is not just swim, bike, run and doing races. For me, it's the way of life, and it's a healthy way of life. It's also, sometimes you think it's a little bit too much sport, it's not healthy anymore. But I try to balance it and to keep it healthy and, yeah, surrounded with all the things like healthy food, like enjoying the nature. When you go out with a bike, for me, for example, it's very, very important to, especially at home, to bike through nice villages and landscape. So for me, it's definitely nature and all the things around the sport where you get in contact to is the thing what is important for me and why I do that sport, and not just because of swim, bike, run, and that's it.
How did you get into triathlon? Because you've been doing it like for a really long time.
Yeah.
And you're not that old.
Yeah. Nuremberg is very close to Roth, so to the, you can say, to the mecca of triathlon. Mm-hmm. And so this region is a little bit crazy about triathlon, so even in the early days, so at the 90s, beginning of the 90s. And luckily my daddy, he was a little bit running marathon, and then he got in touch with a triathlete, with a friend of him, and he was one of the first starting there at 30 years ago in Roth, so really the first Ironman, or the first triathlon anyway. And then he was doing this a little bit, and as I was a child, I was always fascinated what my daddy is doing, and I was a little bit swimming and biking and running, so the sports were familiar to me. And then I said, okay, I want to do that, what my daddy is doing. And then in our region, we have got, you know, this small children triathlon, kids triathlon. And so I competed in there when I was 10 or 11, and I had fun, and I stayed there.
Ever since, you never looked back.
yeah.
But when you grew older, like when you were a teenager and getting into high school and so on, you still participated at quite a high level as a triathlete, on quite a high level, right?
Yeah, I mean, I had the advantage that I started early, and that especially my daddy, he liked to do endurance like hiking in the mountains, and he did that. He was searching for trials, maybe not common for a girl like me. So when I was young, I really did long sports sessions. But anyway, I had really fun. But it was a good training. It was a very good base training. Although we just did it not for training, we did it just for discovering the nature and hiking and enjoying the mountains. So this is why I had a very, very good base, just because of the family background, so the way we spend our weekends. And then I always kept on swimming, biking, running and other sports like athletics. And that keeps me in, as a young girl, very good performance, although I didn't concentrate it on doing the sport professional or whatever. But this level, when I grew older, I had a good performance. And so when I go to high school, I just stayed with the sport. And then when I was part of the German Olympic team.
At what age did you become a part of?
It was 15. Mm-hmm. 15, and then I stayed there, I think, until 19, 20, so for 4 or 5 years. And then when you're into that performance sport, then I was not looking for being a triathlete as a profession, but I wanted to make the best out of my body, to use my potential and see how far I can get. And this is why I then concentrated also professionally, or more professionally, on the sport. But for me, it was always important to do my high school and to do studies and to have a very good education and do the sport as good as I can. But I never thought that I can be a professional like I am that now. But I'm very happy to get that chance and to lift that sport that way.
But you didn't have, like, as a teenager being in the Olympic team, you didn't have a... Did you have, like, a straight plan that you followed that ended, like, at Kona or something?
I had the dream from Kona. For a triathlete, and especially I was always fascinated about the long distance, so the Olympic distance. I did it because I was not allowed to do the long distance. So it was just more like waiting until I get old enough to participate in a long distance race. And it was always my dream to be there. So it was not like this is my only goal in my life, but this is one goal. And being there as a professional, this was definitely a dream. But I didn't thought that this I can realize. Yeah.
You already touched the subject, but because, like, looking from the outside, triathlon seems, even though, like you said, it's a solo sport, but it looks, for me, it looks highly social. Like, it's always like a group of tight friends, and they train together, and they work out together, and they compete together. Was that, as the social side, been a strong reason for you to go on with triathlon?
It was not like that. I had a friend that motivates me or that keeps me in that way. I would say I'm more that solo sport. So, but I was always supported by my family. So they liked, and they said, okay, you've got potential, just go for it, just give it a try. So they supported me mentally. But I don't have that group that helps me or a friend or whatever that keeps me going. So it was more like an individual. So. But definitely the sport, it's, we are individualists, but...
But it's like, I always think it's like a secret society, and you always speak about this, sitting on the trainer and da-da-da-da, you always have a special lingo and special, chain of thoughts and everything.
You have this, I would say. But it also depends on what kind of person you are, so some have this more, some less. But I really like the sport, but triathlon is just a part of my life. It's not my life. So this is why I met the people here, but when I'm at home, triathlon, it's my profession, and I do it as a profession, but it's not 24 hours about triathlon. So I've got many, many other things, and this is why maybe I'm a little bit different.
Is that maybe a reason that you didn't, that you're still within triathlon, that you are able to distance yourself to it?
Yeah, I think this...
You need those breaks?
Yeah, definitely, definitely. And this is why I'm very happy that I get so late into the sport as a professional. So I'm there for 3 years. So I had a normal career. I was normal working. I built up a family with my former husband. And I discovered the hard life, and I know what work is. And if you stand up from Monday to Friday and work as a normal employee, so this is why I have a, I think I have a different point of view to triathlon. So when I come here and train and I see all the people and all the friends staying in the winter and and working in the office, so I'm really happy that I can do that, but I can just feel this because I know the opposite. And this is why I say, maybe in this point I'm very happy to have this experience and that I just now can follow that way. But to be honest, it will be 4, 5, 6 years, and then I think that's enough.
What made it possible for you to turn pro? You said it was like 3 years ago.
Yeah, it was 3 years ago. It was, I would say, the financial part and the private situation, because I was working in a company and there I got the chance to work less, so I could more train and go more to training camps. And then it was the financial part that make it happen, so that I can...
With a sponsor, I mean.
With a sponsor, yeah. So that I... And, of course, the results. So I had a very good year when I was semi-professional. And then I got the opportunity to go 100% for triathlon.
What kind of... for those who don't know you, what kind of merits do you have that you think, if you could choose some of your merits, that kind of rank above the others?
I would say it was one big goal was the European Championship 70.3 in Wiesbaden in 2012. And
that's a half Ironman.
That's a half Ironman, yeah. They have got the European title. And in this year, I've got also the WISE European Championship and a very good race in Frankfurt as well. And then I won 1 year later the Ironman in Switzerland, which is a very, very old and very, very good good Ironman. And and last year I won the Ironman Sydney. So these have been, I would say, one of the best results that bring me onto that.
And also because podium. Australia is such a strong triathlon country, isn't it?
Oh, it is, definitely. It's a national sport there. So if you talk there to people, everyone has done triathlon once a time. And I really enjoyed the time there. I was there for nearly 3 months doing races there and doing my season break and discovering the Australian continent. And it was very beautiful. So definitely the best time of my life.
You're going to move there?
Yeah, I need to. I just need to find a way.
When it comes to races, what kind of elements in a race attracts you? Like... do you have a tactical mindset when you choose competition? Do you look at the competition or like external factors for the race? What makes you interested in a race?
I would say these are more points. One big point, I'm a very emotional person. So if I have a goal, I really want. I need to love that goal, so a goal that motivates me every day. So it's a very always a very emotional race. So it's not that I go through races and see how or where I can earn much money. It's more what is the challenge for me, the personal challenge, and so this is one point. Races which have a cool character or a challenging character or. Like for example, Roth is something like a home race, so it's very emotional. All the friends, all my family can be there. So this is why, for example, this year I choose this race, and it has a very great atmosphere. It's a fast course, so you can do your best time. So these are very, very good arguments to go there. And I'm a professional and I need to look what races are important for my sponsors and especially also on the triathlon market, what they are worth. because some Ironmans, if you do an Ironman in South Africa or in South America, no one knows about that race. It has not a high ranking. It doesn't make sense to do that. So that's also that you need to see which races are important. And yeah, the World Championship Kona, I mean, this is important. If you like that race or if you don't like it, no one asks you, it's Kona, you need to do that. And so I try to choose the emotional race, then I try to do the races, my sponsors and my professional career, I can build it up. And then also it depends on the time schedule, which races fit in. And it's always like that you have one or two main races and all the other races are for preparing and for testing new material and to get into the race modos. So it's every race has a different target.
Are you sensitive to, I mean, being a European, are you sensitive to temperatures? Like, or do you, I think it seems like most triathletes, they really, if they can choose, they choose warm races.
Yeah, but I would say I'm more I'm more would choose the cold.
Really?
Yeah. The heat is or especially in Kona, the humidity is for me it's not so easy to handle. But I think maybe most of the athletes, they've got the problems with the great humidity. But if I could choose, I would go for the cold.
I have a question, because I saw that your coach, she's like winning Norseman like every year.
Yeah,
aren't you? Is she trying to get you into that? Would you do it?
Yes, it would definitely be the perfect race for me regarding the conditions and regarding the nature. So that's definitely on my list. But at the moment, I need to focus on the fast races. But that's definitely what I want to do.
That's more of an experience race.
Yeah, of that challenging races. Yeah. For example, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, I did the Ironman in Wales. It was a very small one, but it was in September, and there have been very very rough conditions. It was raining. It was cold, and it was stormy, and it was not a fast race, but it was just surviving an adventure. And this I really like this as well.
How are you on race day? Are you nervous, or how do you act on race day?
Yeah, I mean, it depends on the race how important it is, but definitely I'm nervous. But I think that you also need to be nervous to be able to do 100%, so you need this kind of hormones and emotions to get into the race. But I've got on race day, I feel more the pressure of myself, of what I want to do, what my goals, what they are. So when I'm smiling or not smiling at the end of the race, it's not just because of the result, it's because of my own aims, my own goals. And this is why on race day I just need to prove myself.
How often do you compete against yourself, and how often do you compete against your competition?
I would say 100% I compete about against myself. Against the clock. I'm this kind of sportsman. I mean, there you also need to find out what kind of athlete you are, if you need the competitor to be fast or if you need yourself to be fast. And I make the experience I'm faster when I'm concentrated 100% about myself and don't watch so much left and right. And this is what makes me faster, what makes me stronger. But you need to find out. Everyone is different in that.
Yeah, but you're not the one who scout the competition, like thinking, okay, so she's a fast swimmer, so I need to be on her feet. And then they are fast bikers, so I want to be with them, and they are fast runners. Do you have like a tactic like that?
You need to have this. I mean, you can't exclude all the surrounding, and especially in races, I mean, you need to have your strategy, and that's why definitely you need to be informed who's fast and who is at the moment maybe fast and has their has their peak performance. So that also gives you a kind of feedback during the race that you know, okay, I'm good in it, and I just need to, for example, stay at her feet in the swimming course, and then I can be strong on the bike and do my best. So that's definitely what I need to learn, because sometimes I exclude too much, but that strategy is important to win races.
But is it a fun part, the strategy, the mental game surrounding triathlon? At least surrounding professional triathlon.
It is important. It is very important. I would say that the mentally thing is more than the body. So this is why two years ago I started mentally training, and to put the focus also on the brain and not on the body. And in long races like triathlon, what we do, it's definitely the brain who decides if you will win or if you don't win. So this is this is definitely a big part in that.
But is it? So would you go as far as say one of your weaknesses, the mental part that you need to readjust?
No, I would say I'm very good in that. I learned a lot. I learned a lot about myself, and I learned a lot about pushing myself mentally into that position what I need to be on race day. So I would say that I'm very good in that. But there are also some days when. Yeah, the same with the body. Some days the brain is weak, some day the body is weak. So these days can also happen on race day. But it's definitely, I would say, one of my strengths.
And I'm guessing that you, in order to become a successful triathlete, you have to be able to adapt to unexpected situations that often come up during races. Mm-hmm. How are you in handling that?
I'm getting better, I would say.
Do you have any examples?
I mean, in every race something happened. So maybe before the race, maybe during the race, and also sometimes these are small things. Like, for example, one day I lost my how is it called? A part of my bottle, you know, the upper part,
straw? The lid?
Yeah.
Or the straw?
Like mm-hmm. a straw, yeah. Mm-hmm. I lost it, and so I couldn't drink anymore. And this was in Roth, so one of a very important race. And I had no other way to put bottles, so I just needed to use this bottle, and it was the half of the distance. And so I was very scary, because I know that it have been 100 Ks and I have got no possibility to drink. So I need to organize during the race that my family, that they organize me a straw and give it to one of the to the aid station, so that the guys at the aid station, that they could give me this. And so I was organizing this during the race. Or for example, in my last race in Australia, my neckline from the helmet. Yeah. It was broken. Mm-hmm. And when it's broken, you're not allowed to race anymore. Mm. So you are disqualified. Mm-hmm. So I put my hair clips, and I was like, you know, MacGyver. And with one hand I was doing with my hair clip, and then I had a gel on my bike as well, fixed with a stripe. So I put the stripe and my hair clips, and like MacGyver, I make the helmet or the neckline fixed again. So the first 10Ks, I was just preparing around my helmet and was scary that no one sees that it is broken. And it works. And through that 10K, I go that fast, but I didn't recognize it, that I was still leading. And these are the small things you need to handle during a race.
But then I would say you're pretty damn good at it.
Yeah. But it's very difficult to make it with one hand because the other one is on the bar. And there's in every race something happened. And you need to organize, you need to handle this, and sometimes you're good in that, like with my hair clips, and sometimes it makes you crazy. But this, I would say, every race is different, and always there happens something, and the big challenge is to handle
and
keep going.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Yeah.
What do you consider to be a failure? Like a defeat or a failure?
I think I learned to handle them. A few years ago, so I was very bad in that. So when I failed, it took me weeks to get over it. But with that mentally training, I learned that that now I'm less emotional. I try to find out the reasons why I failed. And I try, also in a failure, there is something positive, something that you learned, something that that was good. And so this is what I learned, to focus more on the things that works, which was positive, and to be able to also to reflect why I failed, so where I need to work on, what was not good, what I need to improve for the next race. So I would say I'm with every fail, I'm getting better, I'm getting stronger. But if you see my career, it's a lot of up and down. I'm maybe because of my emotions, I don't know why, but I have good, very, very good races and very, very bad races. So I'm not this kind of athlete who have their constant performance. It's a lot up and down. And yes, sometimes maybe I think I need the down to learn and to get to the very, very peak again. But I would say the years and the experience, I mean, now I'm 30. I'm getting a lot better with failing.
But is it somehow attached to, like, prestige or pride? Like, you're getting angry at yourself because of your prestige? Or is it just, like, entirely like an inner problem, inner struggle?
Yeah, I would say for me, I'm very hard to myself, so it's always more the inner struggle than the outside. But to be honest, yeah, for sure. I mean, the people around, the sponsor, and the expectations that they have, they are all also putting me under that pressure. But I would say it's more about myself.
And another thing that I'm really curious of when it comes to especially long-distance athletes like Ironman athletes and so on, I'm very curious to what your core looks like your reactor that drives you, like your mental core. What does it look like when you're on the last leg, like no energy left, just keep going, like staying mentally strong. What kind of mantra do you have? What kind of...
I think every athlete has a different mantra. And you need to find out what is really motivating you. And my motor is my family. So when I get to that point where I say, okay, I can't go on and everything feels bad, because you can't imagine how much pain you have on that distance, and it's really, really hard. And then I have these positive sentences that I grab somewhere in my brain, and I have got a song, because my little niece, when she's standing outside of the race course, she's singing a song for me, for her aunt. And when I come to that point where, I just look in front of me 5 meters and I don't recognize left or right or whatever, and I just want to stop, I sing that song, and and that keeps me going. It gives me a rhythm, especially in the run when you come to that point. And it gives me all the emotions that I really need to have. So these emotions that my family is proud of me, that they are watching TV or they are sitting in front of the laptops and they are excited about what I'm doing. And this is my mantra.
What's your relation to Kuna?
Oh, difficult.
I mean, because you did it the first time.
I did it two times.
I've done it two times
and I failed two times.
Which is quite common, isn't it? Like the first times, it's not a big deal.
I'm not the only one.
No, exactly.
I would say. I think Chris McCormick, he did this two times or three times, and then the fourth or third time he won the race. So it's definitely a strange relationship. It's like love and hate. On the one hand, it's the world championship. It's the most important race, and it's a great area. It's a great island, so you love it. But on the other side, you hate it, because it's... I mean, to be honest, the race course is ugly. It's boring. There are no people on the bike course. It's hot. It's humid. The atmosphere is not like you need to have on a world championship. I mean, it's nice. It's small, but it's not that what I really love. Like Roth, when you have good spectators standing in rows, in crowds, and so it's love and hate. And when you have conditions like this, it's very difficult to handle, because you can't train in that conditions, and then you come there one time per year and you need to do your best performance, and I would say it's difficult. But I'm this kind of person, if I failed, then I want to do it again until I get the code, the Kona code. But until right now, I don't have it. But year by year, I learn. And so I think with the two failings, I learned a lot. And let's see what will happen in October.
That's the goal for 2015.
Yeah, this is one goal. Mm-hmm. So this year I've got more main races. So this is Kona is one. The other one is Roth, my home race, and then the World Championship in Half Ironman in Austria. It is this year. So these are the three big races, and. And Kona is, I would say, it's the same like Roth and for me and the World Championship in Austria. I mean, for the triathlon scene, there is just Kona. But for me, they are these big races. They are the most important.
But you don't have any problems making long plans. You're not that eager. Like, say, I want it now. Is it possible for you to like set like a two-year goal?
I learned that sometimes I need to wait. When I was a child, it was I want to have it and I want to have it right now, but the life learns me too that sometimes you need to wait. And I see triathlon as a period of my life, so I can't wait too long. So this is why I say now I do it 100% and the next 2 or 3 years. And so I must do it the next 2 or 3 years. I don't want to wait until I'm 38. I want to have family and children. So this is why I say I do it now and I don't wait anymore. I failed there 2 times, but I don't want to do that again.
Third time's the charm.
Yeah.
But how often do you need rewards in order to keep your motivation going?
Oh, that's important. I mean, the rewards are that they make you every season when you start the season, you feel quite small, and you need the rewards to grow and to be self-confident. So it's a big part because of that sport where self-confidence is so much important. But I always look also for another. Yeah, like tests or results in the training that give me the motivation to go on when I follow away and when I have good tests to control my performance. So these are also the training rewards.
Yeah.
But yeah, definitely the other one you need them to be motivated. Yeah.
What's your relation to your body? Are you good at listening to the body signal?
Yeah, I would say yes. I mean, I do the sport for a long time and I had a lot of experience, and when I was younger I did a lot of things wrong. So that gives me the special feeling to my body. So I would say I have a very, very good feeling that is one of my strong thing I have. And but to be honest, year by year, I'm still learning how I react on the training and how things go on. But I think as an every good athlete needs to have this special feeling. What his body need?
Have you been able to avoid major injuries?
Yes, maybe I've got 2 injuries I have. One I had last year, the plantar fasciitis.
Mm-hmm.
So it was on my right foot. So this takes me quite long.
Mm-hmm.
This was nearly half a year. But this was why the last season was not that what I expected, and it was not successful. But then I had an accident and I broke my collarbone. So this was another one. But I would say I'm very stable. So this is why I'm
kind
quite
of comes with the job sometimes.
Yeah.
I don't know about Germany, but I'm guessing that triathlon is immensely popular in Germany as well. It is in Sweden. Why do you think it's gaining so much popularity?
I would say, Roth, they make the first Ironman Europe. So it's really a center of long distance triathlon in Europe. So at the early days. And then I would say it spread a little bit over Germany, this kind of sport. And I would say triathlon is now more a way of life. I mean, compared to Sweden, we don't have snow, so we don't have, I mean, we have good in the south, we have good, very good skier as well. But that sport fits quite good to the conditions. And in the last, 10 years, you know, the sport, swim, bike, run, everyone can do that. So it's not very complicated to do that sport and to get into that sport. And like 10 years ago, if people want to do their own challenge in their life, they say, okay, hey, I run a marathon. Now they say, I want to do an Ironman.
Yeah.
And I think this is one point that people are challenging themselves beside their professional. And I think that's that grows in for triathlon, that grows that sport. So this way of life, having a challenge in their life.
Aren't you curious of other like races outside of triathlon? I don't know if I'm wrong, but I think you've done Xterra.
Yes, I did it one time.
Mm-hmm.
I give it a try. But to be honest, I'm not that good in technical downhill mountain biking. So it was a very tough experience for me and a very, very tough race. But it was quite fun, and I really enjoyed that. Also, 2 or 3 hours can be very, very hard. And I also did one mountain bike race in the Czech Republic.
Okay.
That was also it was horrible. I mean, because it's completely different. In triathlon, you're racing from the beginning to the end at about 80% of your maximum heart rate. And in mountain bike sport, it's like you're doing 110%. And then on the downhill part, I don't have these technical skills that I can relax. Yeah? So I was 110% also downhill. And so that keeps me into another range of heart rate. And that when you're not used to it, to have these peaks, after 10 minutes, it's crazy.
But aren't there any other sports that, I mean, if you look past your professional career as a triathlete, are there any other sports you would like to explore or get into more?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I want to do a lot more sport. In the past, I also did some. When I was younger, I did athletics, I did badminton, I did judo, I did...
You've done them all.
I was riding horses. I don't know. I did a lot of things, and I'm still very, very curious about new sports. So when I was in Australia, my boyfriend, he was kite surfing, and I think this is definitely one thing I need to learn. And I was surfing. Yeah, this is what I did, and it was quite a lot of fun. So there are a lot of things I need to explore, and this is why I said triathlon is a part of my life, and it's now. But in 5 years, I want to, what I need to miss right now, I don't want to miss it anymore. So I will explore a lot of crazy things, I hope.
What's the proportion? How much fun and how much passion drives you, and how much is like job? You understand? Like, you don't like it, but you have to get up and do it because it's your job right now.
Yeah, I mean, I'm very good in in motivating myself. So this is that I would say it's 90% fun and passion, because I bring me into that situation. I talk to myself and say, "Hey, Anya, you have got a good life." And so this is why you need to smile. You have got now the chance to do your passion as a profession, and this is why I would say it's 90%. It's passion, it's fun, and 10% it's there are these hard days where you just need to go through it. And
it's raining, it's cold.
Just get out. It also depends sometimes. If you're injured, it's very difficult, and the proportions are like last year. It was the other way around. It was 90% job and negative, and 10% this little bit of hope that it's getting better. So it also depends on your situation you are. But I would say most of the year it's passion, and for me, because I say it's a part of life that I do, and I just want to do it now 100%, and I try to make it positive as I can. If I think, okay, the next 20 years I will do triathlon and I will spend here in Playitos, I would say, okay, it's the proportion are different.
Is it difficult as a full-time athlete? Is it difficult to, on your days off, is it difficult to fully relax because you think, is my competition, are they relaxing right now, or maybe I should do something else now? Or can you, with a clean conscience, can you fully relax?
I would say relax is difficult, especially in our sport when you always keep moving. But it's important, and the last years I also need to learn to really relax and to find something where I can relax. So it's part of a training, you know, and you need to see it as a training. That when you lie in bed with your legs calm, it must be on my schedule. like today when I'm training a lot, and now today I've got a day off. It's really worth, and I'm really happy to have this. But I'm also this kind of athlete that I have got so many ideas in my mind what I can improve, because it's not just training. You know, being a professional triathlete, you need to look for your sponsors, for your marketing, for your promotional worth as a athlete. And so I've got many things in my mind, and when I've got these days off, it's more like, oh yeah, now I've got time to do this and that, and then it's not really relaxing, but you need to learn it, yeah.
This thing about to work on your image, is that necessary? Do you have to? Is that a part of the job that you have to work on your image?
Yeah, definitely.
Do you like it?
I mean, image, what the most important is that it is authentic. So that what you build up, that's definitely you and your person. So this is where for me it's the most important thing, that when I communicate anything, that it's true and that's about me, that it fits to me. But if you say 10 years ago, the work as a triathlete, it was really like swim, bike, run, and you get money from the sponsors just with your performance. But right now, I mean, the world has been changed, and luckily I've could study that business, so this is why maybe I'm more sensitive in that. But it's very, very important, and it's sometimes it's more important than your results, is the way you, let's say, sell yourself. It's definitely a part, and you need to think about it. We're doing triathlon, and it's hard to earn money, especially as a woman. It's Iron Man and it's not Iron Girl. I mean, it's not a typical female sport, and this is what you need to work on it, on your image, on the way you communicate in social medias, the way you present yourself, and keeps attention on your person, but on a very authentic way.
But do you think it's more difficult for girls within the industry than for men?
Yes, I would say yes, because if you see the elements that Ironman stand for, like strength, like endurance, like fastness, these are all more male things. And if you watch magazines, they promote a bike more with a man than with a woman. So the material, the technical things, it's more a, let's say, a male thing. But but I think there is also, if you see the races, I mean, there are a lot of also women in the races, but I would say if you hear Ironman, you don't think of a girl like me, you know, like a blonde small girl with blue eyes and making that sport. So you need to find your creative way, what says, okay, I'm doing that sport, and I'm doing it different than a man. And we're not as fast as the man, so the most attention is to that person who is crossing the finish line first. But we are just 30 minutes behind, so that's not a lot. And if you see Chrissy Wellington, I mean, she's ticking a lot of men. But it's definitely that you need to find your way to promote into a not very female sport.
But have you had any experiences of that, like being... that you are getting less from sponsors?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, if you go to a company and have contracts with them, and you've got the same results like a man, you get 40%.
Really?
It is. If you're good, you get 40%. It is really like this. So it's not so easy.
Is that something that you want to change it, of course, but is it something that you want to inspire? Do you want to inspire change when it comes to that?
I try to, yeah, because I try to show the sponsors another side that they can promote, which is maybe interesting for them, to make the sport attractive, not just on maybe the mainstream thing what they promote in the past. So this is definitely what I'm working on it. But to be honest, it is different. But it's not just in triathlon. If you see the normal business world, working world, it's the same. Yeah? There are more male in the leading positions than female, and especially the women they earn less than the men when they're doing the same job in the same position. So, I think this is it's not just triathlon.
How would your close friends describe you?
Oh, ask them. I hope they describe me as a nice person, as a funny person.
Anya, she's terrible. Always running.
Yeah.
Never staying in one place.
My close friend, I've got not a lot of, but I've got one very close. And to be honest, I don't see and hear her a lot of times, but she's really fascinated about what I'm doing, and she has a great respect to that. And I think this is very important to have people to respect that you don't have a lot of time, or that you can go on vacations with them one or two times per year, and it's a different relation. But I hope they see me as a funny but also a very serious person, and that's following their goals. So very, very focused on what she's doing, and that she tries to do it 100% in a perfect way. But if you meet me on the street, you don't expect that I'm a professional triathlete, so I don't walk with compression through the shopping mall. I would say most of them, they would say that I'm a triathlete, but I'm a quite normal person.
At what stage are you now in life?
Interesting. I'm 30. A few weeks ago, or a few days ago.
Congratulations.
Yeah. So at first I thought, okay, I'm 30, nothing changed. But to be honest, a lot of things changed. I lost my key. The first time in my life, I start to forget things. What I really recognized is that I'm more relaxed in many things, so that I keep calm also in difficult situations or when things happen that I don't expect. I would say I'm in that stage that I'm more relaxed. I'm also focused on the goals I have, and at the moment triathlon is still an important thing in my life. But I would say it's a great period of life that I can live, especially that I can do that sport, and that one big thing is that I can experience another countries. Like, I've been to Australia for such a long time. There are not a lot of professions you can choose where to go and stay there for a longer time.
And have a nice breakfast buffet in hotel.
Yeah, for example, yeah. So I would say it's one of my golden stages. So I hope there will be maybe also golden rewards. Yeah, it's a brilliant time, and at the moment it's the best time of my life.
Sounds good.
Yeah, very good.
Do you have anything else you would like to add?
In my life or in our interview?
In the interview. Or in life. In life.
Oh, in life, I would say at the moment I'm very, very happy, so I can't imagine to add anything. It's everything perfect. And in the interview, I'm happy. I hope that my English is enough to understand.
Thank you so much, and enjoy the rest of your day off. Okay. And try to relax.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at hellofresh.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.